This is very interesting, goes way beyond this particular indictment. Also, Hisham Qassem, well-known journalist, co-founder of the Free Current Movement of liberal political parties in Egypt, just arrested, as well as are so many others imprisoned in Egypt right now. Lina Atala, publisher and editor of the Cairo, Egypt-based Matamasser, speaking to us from Cairo. And Bob Hennelly, award-winning reporter who's been covering Democratic Senator Robert Menendez of New Jersey for decades. We'll link to his reports in Insider New Jersey and Insider NJ and Salon. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland, 90.7 on your FM dial.
Why, I'm all in the ground, I'd root that mountain down, and I wish I was a mole in the ground.
Tune in to KBOO Monday mornings at 9 for the Old Mole Variety Hour, your source for radically democratic news, views, reviews, and interviews, stories of ordinary and extraordinary people working to root down the oppressive institutions of capitalism. That's the Old Mole Variety Hour, Monday mornings at 9.
Support for this program comes from KBOO members and the Urban League of Portland, hosting the Equal Opportunity Dinner Celebration, honoring Black wealth, Black creators, and Black culture, with a special presentation to Rukaya Adams, Thursday, September 28th, at the Oregon Convention Center in Portland. More information is available at ulpdx.org.
KBOO.
Oh, good morning. Oh, yes.
Yeah, I did that for you.
Excellent.
I happened to be on, you know, that social medium
right
page. And
you know, it's September 23rd.
Uh-huh. And I saw your post and I said, because, you know, it comes up on my feed. Uh-huh. And I said, oh, I know what I'm going to do. So we have Ray, our engineer, to thank for helping me pull this off. I thought, you know, giant steps, that is what it's all about. And it, in a way, it also goes with the theme of the show. I mean, the topic of the show.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought I'd just surprise you with that.
Thank you so much, and John Coltrane can make a day go well.
Hey, keep calm and listen to Coltrane.
All right.
There you go. Well, welcome, everyone. Good morning. This is your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the city, 91.9 if you are in the Columbia River Gorge and the Willamette River Valley. It is 104.3, and everywhere in the world, KBOO.fm. Yes, this is More Talk Radio. I am Celeste. I'm here with my host, cohort in conversation and crime, Cecil.
And good morning. And for those of you who would like to join the conversation in a little bit while, pick up your phone and your communication device, and you may reach us at 503-231-8187. But, you know, wait a little bit until we
unpack the topic,
which, you know, hopefully won't take, you know, 55 minutes. But.
Yeah. It'll take a few minutes because we got a couple of topics here that, well, you know, as we do, sometimes we do things that are closer to home. And this has got both, I want to say, this has both domestic and international repercussions, being smart. But really, let me just say, it has both national and local repercussions or effects or consequences or ripples or however you want to describe that relationship.
Excellent. So for those of you who are wondering exactly what we're talking about, we're talking about a couple of things, at least, in terms of how things are changing. Change is going to come, and we have witnessed that in our society in many ways. In November 2022, an overwhelming majority of voters in Portland, Oregon, chose to create a new form of city government that changes how city commissioners are elected and redefine their roles and responsibility, expand the number of commissioners, and for the first time, Portland will have district representation. The voter-approved changes also included changes how votes are cast, something you may have heard of, ranked choice voting. And, you know, in spite of the overwhelming majority of citizen voting, maybe because of it, there was resistance and continue to be resistance within powers of influence in the city. And that includes not only certain business interests, but also, you know, current city commissioners. And, you know, traditional businesses and political powers, which will see their influence possibly wane.
Well, you know, and perhaps that's as it should be, because you've got to figure this. You know, if you look at it, I'm about to say something that is almost obsolete because of the way we do business in this country, but one person, one vote. You know, now it's like one corporation, one person, one vote, you know, or one voting block or a political interest group, one vote, you know. But basically, we want to change it so that we make it more representative. And like a lot of local governments, we're trying to break up a perceived and actual logjam of interests, and make it more representative of Portland's current population and voting block, you know, voting people.
Mm-hmm. Right. And for reference, I mean, there has been a lot written over in the last, well, several months and years. For those of you who have access, there was, a series of articles in Willamette Week, and look particularly in the writings of Sophie Peel, who writes for this newspaper on city government, and she has written extensively on the overhaul in city government, and particularly look at an article posted on I believe September 13th, in which he examines the overhaul of the city government and the resistance. And so a lot of things is at stake, but there's a lot of possibilities. So currently there are literally a handful of city commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to expand to, and all the commissioners right now are elected citywide. There will be four districts, three representatives in each district, and voters will be elected by the up to now new way of voting here in Portland, ranked choice voting. So a lot of changes are happening, and, you know, and people are throwing their hat into the ring. Another time, you can tell me where that phrase come from, but people are running. So do you know which district you are living in? And have you considered voting for someone? Do you have people you would like to vote for? Are you actually a candidate? And
well, we don't want to entertain candidates on the air.
Well, have you considered about being a candidate? More particularly, I think one of the results of this city council expansion is to increase the number of people who and communities who can participate in the electoral process, and also encourage the diversity of views and experiences. Mm-hmm. And so in the coming months, we will see what happened and what will happen. And as we mentioned before, it is something that has, you know, there's some resistance.
Yeah, that's stating it kind of mildly. And as you pointed out, some of the resistance is even coming from city council members.
Well, yeah. No, I don't.
So it's like, no, wait, I want the same machinery that brought me here to keep me here. It's like, well, if you got a righteous cause, you know, if you got a good record, that should speak for itself. You know, don't step in the way of progress.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so you laid out some things for people to consider as they want to call in. The reason I stepped in and said, well, no, if you're considering becoming a candidate, don't call in this show. And we'll have to cut you off if you say, yes, you are a candidate, because there is that give everybody equal time thing that the FCC has, you know, we want to be fair about it. So we would have to have a different format for that.
However, mm-hmm. and if, you know, anyone can call and talk about why people should run, what
yes.
type of candidates should run, how should people organize themselves in communities, how what they are doing. It's can be an exciting time, and whereas at one point, you know, it took a lot of money and influence in terms of run a citywide campaign. Mm-hmm. Things are going to be different when you have a targeted campaign where you're speaking in your communities, people you children go to school with, mm-hmm. that you see in the market and in the parks and in the Little League games,
at the library,
things are
it hopefully will give a better representation, because I know, having lived in East Portland, I lived in East Portland mm-hmm. from pretty much the time I moved here, almost for about 20 some odd years. You know, many times we felt like we were an addendum to anything, you
right.
know, not getting any major significant focus and attention. And like I would tell people, there's still parts that didn't have street lights and sidewalks.
Right.
You know?
So, and in fact, again, there's four districts, three candidates, three representatives in each district, and East Portland is a district in and of itself, and therefore, hopefully, voices represented of those communities will be able to sit around the table and be able to impact city policies. Our numbers, but that's just one thing we want to suggest for you to talk about. Another thing is that, wow, workers are doing a lot of things.
Workers of the world, unite.
Unite, gosh.
And they're making some major strides, you
right.
know. Is it good? Well, on the face of it, it seems to be a major win. But, you know, there's a pendulum.
Wow. Oh, extra. Hot mm-hmm. off the press,
mm-hmm.
on day 146. The screenwriter reached a deal with the studios to end their strikes. The actors are still striking, but the
right.
writers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But that's just one thing about workers. I mean, workers are organizing throughout in many industries. So we do know of the UAW strike, the United Auto Workers strikes, and they have been doing something very strategic in terms of how they are attacking management, and different sites, and on Friday expanded the strike to include the workers in Oregon. Very targeted, and so we'll see what happens. But you know, workers are organizing not only in traditional industries like auto workers, and you know about the Writers Guild and the actors, but in, you know, coffee shops and donut shops and daycare workers. People are saying maybe coming out of the pandemic, you know, we have been caught, quote unquote, essential workers for so long, show us the money and, you know, let us participate in the wealth that has been generated in recent years.
Yes, just yes in a word. But anyway, join in the conversation. The phone number is 503-231-8187. And give us a call. You know, choose which topic you want to talk about, and let's have a little short conversation here. And we want to especially invite those people who don't normally call in but listen. And that's not to say if you call, you know, not to call. But we want to give that special invitation. And especially if you're a new member. Hey. See what I did there. Okay. So what do you mean, member Celeste? Well, you know, we are your community connection. And KBOO turning 55 this year is 55 years strong because of people who support us financially. And what that means is you choose a amount to give us monthly. And I tell people, use your hourly wage as a base. You know, you can give fractions of that, or you can give multiples of that according to your ability. And go to either www.kboo.fm and click on that banner on the right side at the top of the page that says donate and follow suit. Or you can text the letters KBOO to the digits 44321 and then follow suit. And your financial support helps us do everything from keep up our equipment, get the needed software to run the station remotely as well as in person, things like lights, postage. Nice. Oh, hey, and how about wages?
Oh, talking about workers. Well,
yes, that's right. That's right. So do that, please, for us. Support us. And not just support us financially, but tell somebody who maybe doesn't know about KBOO yet. Not only will you be helping us be stable financially, but you get us the members we want. We want to increase our membership. So we're not only aiming for that $55,000 for our 55 years, but we're also looking to increase our membership. And I'm just going to pick a number out of the air and say, you know, it sure be nice to have, oh, I don't know, what, 5,500 new members?
Okay, 5,500 new members, raise $55,000
for 55 years of KBOO.
Excellent. And you know, it's something that by participating, you're helping not only yourself, but you're helping your community. So each month I look at my bank statements, and you know, some things I you know, it's money that I paid that, you know, I have to pay for utilities. I have to pay for a place to live and things that I have to pay for just to survive.
And then, you got to have stimulation, your brain food.
The brain food. Mm-hmm. And there are things I look at that bank statement and I say, oh, there's money going out, and it's something that I'm also receiving. So when I see my bank statement and see my monthly contribution to KBOO, I say, oh, okay, it's good. Money can be used to help build community. So think about it and be a member of this community.
Well, let's go to the phone lines here. And, oh, good morning, Annalisa. Haven't heard from you in a while.
Yes, good morning. And kudos, of course, to the writers in Hollywood. I have a question, though. What did you think about the celebration yesterday for the 55-year cable?
Well, I only caught part of it right before I had my music show. It seemed like a joyful celebration.
Yes, it was. I just would like to encourage people to become a member or contribute to KBOO because it's sorely needed. And that's what I understood yesterday from some people. So
yes,
this goes out to the community.
Anyway. Well, thank you for saying that. I appreciate it because it's good to hear from somebody other than us, you know, to say that we have value because, of course, they're going to say, well, of course, you think it has value. You're on the air. But I'm glad that the people who are supporting members and volunteers and listeners also echo that sentiment. The KBOO has value.
Yes, and there was a great effort to make it all pleasant. There was excellent music during the afternoon, and I left early evening, so I don't know after that.
Well, it was a rocking time, and we had new volunteers, people who were happy to have found KBOO and get involved, and so I'm glad you enjoyed yourself.
Yes, thank you. Have a good day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. And that was an unsolicited, well, it was a solicited phone call, but we did not know what Annalisa would say. And thank you for your support for KBOO over the years and your continued support and being an active community member. And, you know, she went away too quickly. I wanted to ask her whether she had considered being
a city council member.
A city council. Or what would influence you to be a candidate? Because I think what I'm hoping, it's not the usual suspect, you know, and that there would be a variety of experiences and personalities. Well, there's always been a variety of personalities, but variety of experiences and perspectives.
Well, experience is a key word, and sorry to cut you off there, but I want to say this, and maybe this will, you know, generate some interest and conversation. I want to see commissioners that have business expertise in some of these areas and not just political savvy, you know?
And what do you mean?
Project management, you know, budgetary expertise, running large-scale enterprises, financial and fiscal accountability. And I'm not saying that we haven't had that. We have. But we've had people in there who are more skilled at being politicians sometimes.
Well,
I know.
and I think that's important. However, maybe you should expand. You talked about experiences. You know, one of the things that I find potentially revolutionary about the city council reform is that city council members will no longer be in charge of bureaus.
Mm-hmm.
They will represent their community. They
right.
will make policy. So when I say I want people with experience, and certainly people with business experience is great, but mm-hmm. I also want to see possibly people who have wrestled with finding adequate childcare. I want people who have worked paycheck by paycheck. I want people who are not members of the Multnomah Athletic, whatever, MAC.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want people who are recent immigrants. I want people who English is the second or third language. I want people who have experienced houselessness. I want a variety of people so that we can create a city government and indeed a city that represents that hear all of the voices. So you don't necessarily need to have, as Celeste suggested, went to all the right schools and got your political science degree and mm-hmm. have worked for the county or the city or the state for years.
You want a broader...
Broader perspective and
yes.
experiences.
Yes, yes. And I agree to that. You know, like I said, for example, people who live in East Portland, and especially mm-hmm. if you are... Let me say this. East of 205, just to be very specific, east of 205, north and south along, you know, the 205 boundary. It's a different experience out there. And there's some things that sometimes get ignored. One of the challenges is making sure that you have adequate mass transportation and it's timely and like I said earlier, maybe something like lights, but it's more than that. You know, it's paying attention to what the different needs are in that area, whereas people might be concerned with parking or too much lighting or light pollution or noise, or you live in a business area, entertainment district. You know, there's different needs out there in East Portland. And that's one of the reasons why I'm really excited about the fact that you have to run amongst your neighbors.
Yes.
You have to run amongst your neighbors. And they can ask you those pointed questions and expect you to have some type of substantive answer.
Indeed, indeed. And you'll be held accountable in a way that hopefully that in the past city council have not been held accountable. And, you know, I think it's, there's a lot of things, moving parts in this. So we've talked about city council expansion and representation, but there's also a change in the sense of the role of the Portland mayor. There will also be a city manager.
Uh-huh.
Things will look and feel different.
Well, it might call for a higher level of collaboration. Like, do candidates running in a district, do they work as a team and offer a slate?
Yes. Well, yeah, you know, let's talk about this rank vote.
You know, do you look at trying to find something that makes you stand out from the crowd? You know, in East Portland, for example, since I did mention sidewalks and streetlights, you know, traffic deaths is a big deal, as mentioned in the article that you posted for us. You know, and one of the examples posted, well, do you join in with everybody else who is mentioning traffic safety? Or do you try to be unique? You know, do we start having slates? And I as a former city employee, worked with some of the business districts and some of the people who really lobby city council or are responsible for being a consultant to some of our past city commissioners, and they're not even sure how to make a move on that. I mean, you know, being a slate poses potential advantages, but it could be a disadvantage too.
And I think what this will require, as you suggest, is a different way of thinking about politics and in terms of campaigns. So if, you know, it's ranked choice of voting. Uh-huh. So, you know, in traditional campaigns, you know, I run against you, Celeste.
Uh-huh.
I explain to everyone how terrible a person you are.
Yes, I am.
That you know, you will not be able to be effective.
Uh-huh.
And that you are, you know, if not a child of Satan, someone who lives in their neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
With ranked choice voting, people were saying, well, who do I want to represent me? And who's my first choice? And, you know, if I don't get my first choice, who's my second choice? And so that might make me say, oh, Celeste, maybe I don't want to call you the child of Satan. And that, as you suggested earlier, maybe we can get together and talk about how we might either work together, run together as a slate, or at least I don't want to turn off my neighbors who kind of like you and may not vote for me because I say nasty things about you. So,
and especially if maybe I've lived in the neighborhood longer than you and actually, you know, went out there and picked up some trash in the street.
Yeah.
You know, and people saw me doing a good thing.
Right. So, community. Wow.
Well, that's the whole idea, is building a new type of community across some of the lines that typically we've kind of held as sacred, you know. And the fact that you have to consider collaboration, because you're not running a bureau, there won't be that kind of silo, at least in that sense.
Right.
Now, you could end up with silos for districts.
Right.
And, you know, but, I mean, that's almost an inevitability of any kind of human organizational effort. You're going to end up with some kind of silo or strata, that's you know.
Right.
You know.
And I think that's a very good observation, Celeste, so that city council people will represent districts. So they'll, you know, for lack of a better term, siloed, because they'll represent their community. They'll be talking, advocating for their community, as opposed to being, focusing on running a bureau with thousands, you know, hundreds of employees, and I don't know, maybe have five minutes a day to respond to constituencies. Complaints or concerns. Things will be different, hopefully.
Well, you know, Cecil and I could talk forever, but we want to talk to you. We want to hear you talk to your neighbors and the people who are listening to your community connection. So give us a call at 503-231-8187.
And if you also have been a worker, if you've been part of an organizing effort, if you have some thoughts about what's going on in your community, locally, in your union, your workplace, how are people responding, and what are people doing? Do you feel as if this summer was not exactly union summer, maybe it was at least a worker's rising summer, and where do we go from here? The fact that people are organizing in traditional workplaces, auto plants and places such as that, as well as non-traditional places such as fast food restaurants and donut shops, there are people saying, you know, we got to do things differently, and they're finding their voices. And if you are part of those movements, give us a call. A couple of weeks ago, I was able to attend the annual gathering fundraiser for Portland Jobs with Justice, which is a gathering of people, unions, workers, where they celebrate and support one another. What was unique about this gathering and unique about this organization is that you have people of various industries, people you would not necessarily collaborate with, but working out of that sense of commitment that an injury to one is an injury to others. So you have this gathering of people, whether they are healthcare workers or whether they are baristas, they're saying that we will support one another, and it's not just about me and mine, but it's about us and ours. So that's an opportunity that I experienced in one room here in these different voices of different different types of workplaces gathering and saying, you know, we may not meet in the Mac Club, but we can meet on the streets and we can meet and organize ourselves. If you are part of some of those organizing movements, we would be interested in hearing your thoughts. What's going on? What's going well? What are some of the challenges you face? What are things you celebrate? What are victories that you claim as yours? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Give us a call and be a part of this communication.
Conversation.
Conversation.
Yeah, I knew what you meant.
All right.
We used to call that Monday mouth, you know, when Monday. The mouth wasn't quite working well. Well, you know, one of the things that I hardly like to do anymore because people have gotten so contentious and not interested in conversation is read comments. But I found some interesting ones behind this article that you've posted on our site. And, you know, I want to use those maybe to kind of like hopefully spark a little conversation here. Mm-hmm. One of the things that somebody said on here was that anyone who spent their career in nonprofits will not get their vote. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, okay, why? Can you elaborate? What is it about nonprofits that's challenging? You know, are you lumping all nonprofits the same? There are as many different goals and missions of nonprofits as there are political opinions, you know. And so I can see how that might be challenging if you live maybe in District 4, you know, maybe you like the fact that you got downtown as part of your, you know, backyard, and nonprofits are encroaching on it some kind of way. I'm not sure. Or is it because you think nonprofits all help people not have to work and be responsible? I don't know. I'm curious, you know.
And let's hear what people have to say. And let's hear what Style has to say. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having this wonderful show. I'm calling in because I heard you guys talking about communities and organizing off the east side from the 205. I'm not actually a resident out that way. So it beckoned me to call in and invite people to come help organize. I'm part of the API community, which stands for Asian Pacific Islanders.
Yes.
Yeah. And we host a second and fourth Thursday gathering at the Mekong Bistro restaurant to showcase island reggae music vibes. And I can totally use some more help from community members who are artistic, who like to produce, who like to volunteer, everything from decoration. The goal is to really bring warm sunshine vibes, even though it's cold and rainy this upcoming season. So I just want to, you know, reach out. If anyone's interested, they can, you know, show up, say hi. I'll have a booth there, and I'm looking to highlight other organizations, nonprofit or whatever it else, start a business at different tables so they can showcase what they're about, communicate to the community how we can help one another.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I want to say is I know on some of my communications across social media platforms that people have gone there to hang out and to organize or to have community events. So it's a good place to get out and meet people. Now I can't encourage it beyond that, you know, because there are strict rules for non-commercial community-based radio stations and how they articulate businesses on the air. But as a caller, you're saying come be part of a community, right?
Absolutely. You know, it takes one to reach one, and then when you have three or more, you can go as far as you can really envision as a group. Yeah. And something else I want to mention is another way to stay connected outside of just live activities is being on a Discord server, I'm not saying any specific one, but for me, as someone that's studying that platform, we could have a conversation like you are right now, and mm-hmm. anyone that's curious can come back to that specific topic and continue the conversation so it's not lost in the abyss of information. So I think that's a strong platform that social media, if you're community-based orientated, is moving in that direction. And I would just like to help promote local artists, people who will have more awareness of the stories to showcase. I'm a media maker in my own right, and I just look forward to collaborating with others that have that vibration and who want to just showcase what community is about and how we can help one another succeed as we go through it, because it's sad to drift alone or just with a few when you have more. So please come on out, guys. Reach out to me if you like. Can I share my IG or is that too much?
I think you can, yeah.
Okay, well, it's really easy. It's my name, style_versatile_. And feel free to DM me. I try to check in so often, but, you know, I appreciate any love, shelter, support to help my friends and artists just get out there. And help
community artists, that's perfect. Right. All right, well, yeah. Thanks for your call, Style.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me. Have a great rest of the day. Appreciate mm-hmm. it.
And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO FM. Today is Monday, the 25th of the September. We are broadcasting 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO.FM. To share in conversations this morning, you may call us at 503-231-8187. And again, I am Cecil, and I am here with Celeste. And
good morning, and we're waiting for you. Yes, join us, 503-231-8187. So, you know, one of the things I find fascinating is, like, this must be either really overwhelming for people, and it's like, oh my goodness, I don't want to talk about this election coming up. Is how am I going to decide? It's going to be a whole lot of people. Who are these people? Do I know these people? What are the issues? You know, have we diced up the process until it's too confusing? Or people say, I got this. It's nothing to it. I don't even need to talk about it. Mm. You know?
Yeah. Well, what are the issues? And the fact that, you know, whether or not we are part of a conversation, we will be caught up in this, and people are talking and people are organizing. And so, I mean, part of the conversation is how do we create community, that we hear one another, and what type of changes that will take place. You know, already, if you listen to some commentators, people in City Hall are either confused or excited or worried. Already we witnessed the mayor said he will not run.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor will not run for re-election. One sitting city commissioner said he will run for mayor, has announced he will run for mayor. Another city commissioner is rumored to also be a candidate for mayor. And then there are will be inevitably perhaps dozens of candidates running for city council in the next cycle. Are you one of them? What are you looking for? What are issues in your community that you want addressed, whether it's sidewalks or transportation or concern about people living on the streets? Perhaps it is affordable child care, adequate transportation. There's so much that is happening that concerns so many people. And as Celeste, you know, thank you for telling us, you know, not to focus so much on particular candidates,
mm-hmm.
but I think there is a variety of candidates in terms of experiences. And so you know, looking at people who have announced, there have been some people who I assume are like nonprofit people, but that brings a certain experience.
Yeah, it does.
And as well as, you know, maybe a small business owner or a worker at a large corporation. Different experiences.
But then, you know, okay, so here's another issue. Since, you know, we're carrying the conversation ourselves, I'm wondering, since we're doing ranked choice here again, how do we figure on coalition building? You know, and then when you have the people who you have represent your district, how do you keep from having competing interests and agendas? Mm-hmm. You know, because one thing, and I'm just throwing this out there because I'm not saying this is my idea of how things should be run, but one thing about having a bureau assignment is you have to work with people from different aspects of the city whose needs for maybe your bureau are based on their location. So you have to be able to take a global view, you know, and figure out how do I allocate the services in my bureau so that they serve the whole city, the whole metro area equitably.
Now, I got confused a little bit. Maybe you can expand it to me. Uh-huh. Because, you know, one of the changes is that...
That you won't have the bureaus.
You won't have the bureaus.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. So your priority is not running the bureau, but representing your community.
Right, representing your community.
And the fact that we have we'll have a city manager, that takes city councils out of that.
Right.
As well as the mayor, who will be the executive. I mean,
right. But see, what I'm saying is when we make that shift, will then that then cause us to have districts be competitive?
For services?
Yes.
Oh, uh-huh.
That's what I'm looking at. And I just wanted to get other people's input on that because I can see how that could be a challenge. I can see how that could. It doesn't mean it will be. But we've got another person online. Thank you. So we'll go to our next caller. Good morning, April.
Good morning, Celeste. So I was walking into my landline to call, so I didn't hear what you're specifically interested in hearing.
Landline. Wow. Okay.
Well, no, I was just throwing something out there, which is, well, having these districts cause the representatives to perhaps have competing interests when we come together, and or whether when they come together, because I'm not running, when they come together to govern, will we have competing interests? And what I was trying to use as an example, and I may not have been successful in it, is when we had commissioners running a particular bureau, they had to make sure that the resources were equitably allocated among the whole city, regardless of what that area of the city's specific needs might be. They had to figure out how everybody gets, well, for example, I'm going to use it again, lights, you know, because the lighting needs in one part of the city is different than another, okay?
Yeah, there was a big scandal over that.
And so, you know, one of the challenges will be when you have these four districts, will they suddenly be in competition?
Well, you know, Celeste, I don't think that, I mean, I think it has been that way.
Yeah, it has been that way anyway.
The city has not been served equitably,
mm-hmm.
and it will at least be better with having representatives from all districts. People's needs will actually get heard.
Mm-hmm.
So the big thing, the reason I called in, is the real thing I want to see change in, and I'm hoping will be addressed, and has been the worst embarrassment and failure of the current administration has been the issue of houselessness. And I also the issue of, I mean, people don't, they look at the issue of houselessness once you lose your house and you're on the street, but they don't look at the issue of why are they houseless?
Yeah.
So what happens, at least what I've seen in my limited view, is that developers get these subsidies to build affordable housing, which is affordable to no one. I mean, I've never made more than $25,000 a year in my life, and there are quite a few people in Portland in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like, you know, that to be addressed, the developers to stop driving the game, mm-hmm. someone in the city to actually say, no, wait a minute, we really need affordable housing, and we're not going to give the developers these tax credits that say they have to do something for a certain amount of time, and then they can kick people out and flip their places to become condos,
right.
Because that is driving a lot of the homelessness cycle. So you're never going to get rid of homelessness if you, I mean, you need to house the people, you need to house everyone, but you need to look at the other end too. Otherwise, it's just a vicious cycle. It's like a nonprofit a complex, sort of. It's just going around and around. So you house people for a while, but then you kick them out because their 3-month voucher has expired and they haven't gotten services in the meantime. So now they're homeless again. And then they become the chronically homeless. Yeah, yes. You need to serve everyone.
Well, you know, you mentioned one of the pressing needs and the fact that it's a multifaceted problem. And I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. Oh, that's okay. Okay, it's Monday, but gee, that was weird. But basically, I think what I was trying to say is you're right. We do need to look at how we set a market for housing in this city and think in terms of how do we grapple with the profiteering off of housing.
And right now, I think that some of the council members, if not all, and especially our mayor, are controlled by the developers rather than the other way around, the way it should be.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so you ask the question, will there be competing needs? Well, I would say there already are. I would hope that continues, but at least this way, with more representation, we will hear about all the needs, and so maybe something will actually get done about them.
Mm-hmm. That is the hope that many people had with the restructuring of the city mm-hmm. governance. That was the hope. It's like maybe we can change the way things are done, and parts of the city that have been traditionally ignored in favor of others will have their shot. Right.
Right.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you, Celeste, and I hope you guys keep having more shows on this until, you know, citizens call in and we actually have a really robust discussion.
We will. Thanks for your call.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.
So in response to your suggestion or your conversation about, you know, competing thoughts and competing interests, I'd like to go back to a philosopher that I often, well, Mao Zedong.
Okay, I see why you were hesitant.
Yeah, I didn't know how to address that. You know, we sometimes think of let a thousand flowers bloom as something that Mao said. Well, actually, he said letting 100 flower blossom and 100 school of thoughts contend is the policy for promoting progress. And so I think competing interests, competing voices is something that we want. And as you suggested, some voices have been left out in the past. And if we do things correctly, those other voices will be heard. And when those voices are lifted, maybe progress can be made.
Okay. Well, I'm just throwing things out there for conversation. I'm not necessarily wed to any of these suggestions or questions or statements. You know, it's to try to get people engaged with us. And I do want to thank our callers. So I'm going to riff just a little bit off of what April was saying about housing. One of the biggest challenges is, like I said, this profiteering. And the housing developers. But my question is also, why is it that we as human beings don't feel the need to make sure, at least in this particular area in Portland here, that you have like adequate workforce housing that's affordable? And why is it such a drive for it to be a money-making enterprise? I lived in an apartment complex in the Lloyd area, and I was really fascinated with how renting an apartment was a daunting challenge, because the price for my apartment changed daily depending on how many people had come in and looked at it, or whatever arcane formula that the developers and the owners had. And so I remember when I was trying to decide if I wanted to renew my lease, and it was for the same place, because I lived in the building for roughly 10 years. Any given day you looked at the potential of signing the lease, the price would have changed. And it was almost like speculating. It was like the same thing that happens with the price of gold. Mm-hmm. You know, it changed from day to day. And it fascinated me, because that's when I realized, I said, oh, so this is not a simple transaction anymore. You know, it's kind of like speculating. You know, you want to know that housing is going to be considered a need and not a way to make a whole lot of money off of somebody and price even folks who are making a decent salary right out of the market.
Sure.
You know, because say 500 square feet is about what you figure you're going to get for an apartment. And they've been working on our minds for that for the longest. And if you don't believe me, just think back maybe 10 years to when you would go to this big box store with the Nordic name, and they would show you how to outfit an apartment of 500 square feet, you know. And people would say, but who lives in these tiny spaces? Well, nowadays, a lot of us do, you know, because they've changed the game on us, so that housing, which is a basic need, is now run kind of like it would be if you were at the stock exchange or bidding on something in the market. But anyway, we got a caller in here. Let's see if we can squeeze them in quickly. Good morning, Nick.
Oh, good morning. I guess I wanted to respond to your thing about why there isn't enough housing, and I think, you know, it's just because there is no overarching controlling force in society that makes there be housing. Like, the powerful people are the people with money, so they just do what they want. And, you know, I lived in another city that had district councilors for a long time, and they, you know, they would come in and people would be really supporting, like, this person's going to be progressive, blah, 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 but they all get bought off. These people make money on being politicians, and the only thing that, and people get disappointed, but really, you have to just be prepared for that. And, sorry, I got to turn down my radio, because now I have feedback.
Oh, yeah. That feedback will throw you.
Yeah, you know. Like, you have to just assume that most of these people are just in it for money. They're going to, you know, they're going to say a bunch of law and order stuff about, oh, you shouldn't have to see people suffering on the street. Like, if you're rich and you have to see people be houseless, like, you are suffering. That's so sad for you. And that's going to be their whole politics. And tons of people will vote for that.
Yes.
And you read the Willamette Week, that's their whole line. All their articles, oh, it's so sad, I have to see this. And they don't care about people suffering. So I think the only pushback is really having candidates who are, who people are movement backed, but also are scared. They should be scared that they're going to lose their power. And also I think having more, you know, having more counselors just makes it a little, it decentralizes their power, because it's not just four corrupt city councilors. You're going to have 12, and maybe a few of them will be okay.
Be okay. Hopefully not 12 corrupt, but
yeah,
we'll see.
But they will be. You just know they just will be. Yeah. And you just have to bank on that. And I hope people like, who actually do something, people like Chloe Daly, who actually do something. I'm not like part of her campaign or anything.
Yeah, like, I'm not like that part of her campaign either. But thank you for your call. Appreciate your points.
Yeah, thanks.
This is your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. Stay tuned. More good information, news, reviews, and views that you can trust coming out of the Old Mo Variety Hour here on KBOO Portland. We'll catch you next week on More Talk Radio with Cecil and Celeste.
You are tuned into KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
You're listening to KBOO Community Radio, and we're in the middle of our fall membership drive. Help us meet our $55,000 goal by making a contribution today. KBOO's organic, free-range, independent programming is only possible with your support. Give now at kboo.fm/give. You can also donate by texting the word KBOO to 44321 or by mailing a check to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, 97214. Our members continue to fertilize community radio every time they give.